This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, with the first Democrat presidential debate coming up, the candidates start throwing punches at each other.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. Well, you know, at some point in the campaign, it starts. And it usually starts with targeting the front runner. And in the Democrat presidential race right now for the nomination, Joe Biden is certainly the front runner. Now, what's been interesting is two things. One, now Joe Biden's starting to come under attack from, interestingly enough, some on the left. One, first was AOC, the congresswoman. We're going to get into that in the second half hour, and then how he tried to respond quickly with his own new $1 trillion Green Deal. We'll get into that in the second half hour. But he's also coming under attack from Planned Parenthood. Now, what Joe Biden, if Joe Biden's campaign was smart, the idea would be try to moderate, right? So if you're getting attacked by people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, take the attack, because, again, if you can get the nomination, you're going to be more middle of the road. But instead, he rushed out to try and satisfy her by announcing his own Green New Deal that cost $1 trillion, or more than $1 trillion. On the Planned Parenthood issue, I have a feeling his campaign is going to try to make nice very quickly with Planned Parenthood. Let me explain what happened for you there. First, the polls that just show how Joe Biden has been sliding. Really, what's funny about this is since he has really announced his campaign and been out there on the road. So in this past week and a half, when he's really been more in the media, he's been speaking out more, he's had more events, he's gone from having a 19-point lead over all of the candidates. So 19-point lead over everyone else. That includes his closest rival, Bernie Sanders, who kind of maintains always around somewhere between 17 to 19%, usually somewhere right in there. So usually right around 17%. Joe Biden was holding around 35, 36, even at one point 38. But in the latest poll this week, he's got a major slide. He's got a slide of at least, in some polls it would be a 6-point slide, but at least a 5-point slide. So he's gone from having a 19-point lead over the candidates, including the next leading candidate, to a 14-point lead over the next leading candidate. And Than, this is a Joe Biden who is starting to sound like Joe Biden on the campaign trail. Take a listen. Here he is again with another questionable comment about a conversation he was having on stage with a woman. Take a listen.
We have a little secret going here. I want the press to know she pulled me close. I just want you to know, okay? All right? And I would delight it. I would delight it.
You know, I mean, Than, there's Joe Biden for you right there. But obviously the idea, and his wife, I'm sure, was not too excited about that. He's tried to apologize before already for kind of his actions and said, you know, he's never tried to do it in a way that is wrong or try to make people feel uncomfortable. But when he keeps doubling down on it and making a joke about it, it starts seeming like, well, maybe it is.
Jordan, it's a big unforced error. I mean, look, and this is something that Joe Biden has been prone to before, not only the inappropriate comments or things that are captured on camera, but Jordan, just the unprovoked gaffes. And look, I think there are some substantive ones, too. I know we're going to get into the climate plan as well as his trying to play both sides on the abortion issue. Jordan, I don't think those substantive things are going to play in either the primary or the general. I think he's trying to be too cute by half in these situations. And look, it's the warnings that we issued for Joe Biden from the beginning. He's not tested in this capacity. And right out of the gate, he's showing, Jordan, that he might not be ready for prime time.
Folks, we've got a lot to talk about. I mean, with this switch that Biden's tried to play on abortion just last night, now Planned Parenthood attacking Joe Biden. I want you to kind of think like a Democrat for me and give us a call. Would you choose Joe Biden to be your nominee if you were a Democrat voter right now? Do you think he is the best candidate to take on President Trump? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. I know it can be tough to think like a Democrat, but think politically. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Seculo Live.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Joe Biden in New Hampshire. Just take a listen, and then I'm going to talk to you about this latest Joe Biden controversy he has gotten himself into on the abortion issue. Take a listen. Bite 10.
I just think there is a way, and the thing will fundamentally change things, is with Donald Trump out of the White House. Not a joke. You will see an epiphany occur among many of my Republican friends. And it's already beginning this year in the House now.
Let me ask you this, folks. I know most of you are conservative voters. You may not even identify as Republican, but Joe Biden would see a conservative voter as a Republican voter. Are you having an epiphany right now about voting against Donald Trump and voting for Joe Biden? Answer me on that. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Are you having an epiphany, like Joe Biden thinks, where you're going to vote against Donald Trump and support someone like Joe Biden? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. 3110. Now let's get into some substance here. So Joe Biden is at a campaign event and he gets a question. He gets a question from someone at an ACLU volunteer who asked about the Hyde Amendment. And he said specifically on the Hyde Amendment, he said that he misheard the ACLU volunteer, thought she was referring to the Mexico City rule, which prevents federal aid money from going to organizations overseas that perform abortion. So what did Joe Biden say about the Hyde Amendment? Well, first he said it can't stay. That would have been a major reversal, Than, for Joe Biden, who's been a longtime supporter of the Hyde Amendment, one of the few pro-life legislative items that Joe Biden has actually supported is the Hyde Amendment throughout his entire Senate career, long career in Congress. And in that first question, it just tells you how little sometimes they even forget what they're talking about. He answered that it couldn't stay and then had to have a correction. But let's first tell people the Hyde Amendment that he was asked about by that ACLU staff member, what is it?
So the Hyde Amendment, Jordan, is a statutory protection that has been passed in the appropriations process as part of the Labor, Health, and Human Services Appropriations Act back since 1976, and it's really been in effect since 1980. Jordan, just to boil it down very simply, it is a prohibition of U.S. tax dollars being used directly for abortion. There are some very minor exceptions. Life and rape and incest are exceptions under that. But, Jordan, effectively what it does is it ensures that Medicaid reimbursements in the United States are not used directly to pay for abortions. We've talked with our audience a lot of times about how Planned Parenthood still gets this money and uses it for other things. But Jordan, it's a very, very important protection for U.S. taxpayers not to pay directly for abortion. And you're right. It has traditionally had bipartisan support. I know we're going to talk about some of these inconsistencies in a minute. But before we get past Joe Biden, I do think it should be pointed out he has tried to have this both ways. Yeah. He has been a vocal proponent of the Hyde Amendment. But Jordan, when he served as President Obama's vice president, he was a fairly open advocate for watering that down to the point of ineffectiveness. So it's no surprise to me that he's getting confused where he stands on this.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense then why he is confused about exactly where he is, because if he was kind of half-heartedly supporting it under the as serving as vice president to President Obama, who certainly opposed the Hyde Amendment, and then kind of wanted it watered down where he could still say he supported it, but it wouldn't be the same thing. But here's what Biden's campaign had to say. They told The Hill that Joe Biden misheard the ACLU volunteer, thought she was referring to the Mexico City rule, which prevents federal aid money from going to organizations overseas that perform abortion. Biden has never changed his support for the Hyde Amendment, is what the campaign says. So he supports that prohibition on abortion funding with federal tax dollars. But the Mexico City rule he wants to get rid of. Now, this is a guy who's trying to have it abortion. It's like, on the one hand, federal taxpayer dollars can't be used to pay for abortions in the U.S. But the Mexico City policy says federal taxes and federal dollars can be used to pay for abortions overseas. And he supports that.
This excuse makes it worse infinitely, in my view, Jordan, because look, the Mexico City policy is a policy that if he was elected president, he would have control over whether or not it is in place. It has been going back and forth depending on who controls the White House. Actually, President Trump's reinstation of the Mexico City policy was actually an expanded version. But in a nutshell, it says that U.S. taxpayer dollars that go overseas cannot go to groups that will perform or promote abortions as a means of family planning services. So, Jordan, you kind of already said it, but I would say it as succinctly as this. If Joe Biden does not think that U.S. taxpayer dollars should be used in the United States for abortions, then why does he think those same U.S. taxpayers should pay dollars that are going to go overseas and be used for abortion? But, Jordan, that's what he's saying.
Yeah,
he's saying, I'm for the Hyde Amendment, and I'm opposed to the Mexico City policy. The only difference is where that abortion is taking place.
Yeah, which, if you believe abortion is wrong or that taxpayers shouldn't at least be paying for it, it should be wrong if taxpayers are paying for it in the U.S. or paying for it overseas with their dollars. I mean, it's one way or the other. But this is an attempt, I think, by Joe Biden to try to have it both ways and try to distinguish himself amongst some of these Democrat candidates. Because here's the truth. He appears to be the only Democrat White House hopeful who's come out in support of the Hyde Amendment, which has been around for 43 years. Senator Cory Booker, Senator Elizabeth Warren, and former Rep. Beto O'Rourke have all released proposals to protect abortion access that call for an end to the Hyde Amendment. Warren is also joined with other Senate women running for the Democrat nomination, Kamala Harris, Gillibrand, Klobuchar, to co-sponsor legislation overturning the ban. And Joe Biden, by saying he supports the Hyde Amendment, has been called out by Planned Parenthood, the number one abortion provider in the world and in the U.S., the number one abortion industry leader, if you will, in politics, with the Planned Parenthood Action, where they have their PAC and their political action committee. They slammed Joe Biden's support for the Hyde Amendment. Here's what Planned Parenthood had to say about Joe Biden. Quote, "The unfair Hyde Amendment makes it so that those who have the least end up having to pay the most to access abortion, and those who are service members or live on reservations often left with no coverage for abortion." That was Kelly Robinson. And like I told you, that came from Planned Parenthood Action Fund. That's the ones that's their political action committee. It gets more political. It gets partisan. They give out money to candidates. Quote, "We encourage any candidate who doesn't recognize Hyde's impact," this is Planned Parenthood, "to speak to the women it hurts most, particularly women of color and women with low incomes, to learn more about the harmful impacts." So again, Joe Biden picking a fight with the abortion giant he may not have wanted to. I have a feeling, Than, like we'll talk about with the his new version of the Green New Deal, when he got called out by AOC as a middle of the roader And he couldn't let that last long, so he had to throw together some trillion-dollar giant plan for a Green New Deal that he will try to make good with Planned Parenthood as well.
I mean, he's trying to walk a fine line, Jordan. I mean, obviously, the most important consideration here is the substantive one, and I think he's made it abundantly clear this week that he cannot be trusted on the issue of life or taxpayer funding for abortion. But, Jordan, just politically speaking, even if you set the substantive issue aside, I really think he's made a very big mistake in his campaign because, politically, I think he's managed to alienate all sides of his potential political support. I mean, you think about a primary process, I'm sure you are correct. He's going to try to make nice with Planned Parenthood. But, look, I think they're going to be very nervous about him having to double down in support of a very long-held bipartisan position that the Hyde Amendment should remain, that U.S. taxpayers should not pay for abortion. I think that's going to be hard to pacify them on. But then, Jordan, think about fast-forwarding if he did get the nomination to a general election. Now he's been exposed for having this sort of two-faced position where he is in favor of a prohibition of U.S. tax dollars for domestic abortions. But, Jordan, he supports U.S. taxpayers being used, dollars being used for abortion overseas. That is just morally inconsistent. So I think it's going to trip him up in one stage of the process or the other, either in the primary or in the general. I don't think he can have it both ways.
Let's go to Jose in Virginia on line one. Jose, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to comment on the Joe Biden thinking we're going to wake up from this epiphany.
Yeah.
I'm not a Republican.
Yep.
I'm a conservative.
Yep.
Latino voter. I got news for you. Voted for Trump last time. Going to vote for Trump again in 2020. He doesn't sound like a politician. His approach is the one that we elected him for. He's actually, his only sin is probably keeping up with his campaign promises, which he's doing by the book.
Yep.
So I'm not exactly sure what he's thinking about, but from where I stand and from the people I speak to in the conservative ranks, I actually am seeing a move of some Democrats becoming disillusioned by this push to the left, and some of the more moderate Democrats starting to look at Trump as a viable option.
Well, and Jose, I will tell you, I come out of the Republican political world, and I've worked for some pretty mainstream Republican, I would consider them conservative candidates. And even some of that world, which would have been considered the more mainstream Republican, not moderate, just mainstream. Maybe they probably voted for President Trump, just probably weren't at his rallies and big supporters, are suddenly now much more supportive, much more proud of their support and upcoming vote that they will cast for President Trump. So I'm seeing that change too. And I think we'll play it when we come back. Elizabeth Warren is not buying this either. She thinks that, you know, playing this middle of the road and thinking that Republicans are going to have some epiphany is just foolish of Joe Biden. We'll come back. We'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Let me set the stage for you. You know, we talked about Joe Biden trying to have it both ways on abortion. He supports the Hyde Amendment, but he's got to get rid of the Mexico City policy. So he's okay with you supporting abortion and using your taxpayer dollars to pay for abortions, so long as those abortions are happening overseas. But he doesn't support your money paying for abortions happening in the United States. He's the only Democrat candidate to take that position. It may be his a try for him to differentiate himself, try to moderate himself a bit on that issue, because the abortion extremists have gotten so far outside of the mainstream of where most people are with the late term abortion stuff that he's trying to differentiate himself amongst the other candidates. He certainly did. None take that position. Also, none of the other Democrat presidential candidates support the Hyde Amendment, which he says he supports. But it makes no sense. Paying for abortion, using our money to pay for abortion overseas, but not using our money to pay for abortion inside the United States. As I wanted to bring up, too, if you're on our ACLJ email list, you got this ACLJ email today from my dad. We have two cases right now on funding to Planned Parenthood, on the Title X funding, and it's specifically about how Planned Parenthood uses the money and allocates money from the money they receive under Title X for women's health, which is $10 billion a year. The new HHS regulations make it very clear that you can't use dollars that you're raising for abortion to offset this money. And so, Than, we're filing in two cases, both in the Ninth Circuit. One is in 2 days. People can sign our brief at aclj.org. I think it just goes right in line with what Joe Biden's talking about here, is trying to have things both ways and Planned Parenthood getting involved. But on this issue of Title X funding, what HHS has said is we're not going to let Planned Parenthood play the accounting game anymore.
Yeah, this Title X funding, Jordan, is the second biggest tranche of domestic money that Planned Parenthood gets after Medicaid reimbursements. And there's actually been a statutory prohibition against those dollars being used for abortion ever since Title X was enacted. It's actually part of the statute, but past administrations that were pro-choice or pro-abortion, Jordan, have not enforced it. This administration wrote the strongest rule that we've seen out of the Department of Health and Human Services from the beginning, making it very clear that those dollars would not be used for abortion. And in fact, Planned Parenthood would start being denied that funding unless they could certify and demonstrate that those dollars were not going toward abortion. George, we filed in favor of that rule has now gone final. Of course, it's being challenged. We are helping litigate in defense of that rule in court. Jordan, I do think ultimately the rule will stand because it's consistent with a statutory prohibition that has been in place. But look, I think here's the important point. These fights, even when they get them right in federal law, Jordan, when it involves abortion, they never end. You have to fight them till the very end. And look, this is another one I think Joe Biden should be asked about because he's been on both sides of this issue.
Here's Joe Biden. Let me play it for you again. He's saying that there's going to be this epiphany amongst Republicans. So he wants to play to the middle. Take a listen. Bite 10.
I just think there is a way, and the thing will fundamentally change things, is with Donald Trump out of the White House. Not a joke. You will see an epiphany occur among many of my Republican friends. And it's already beginning this year in the House now.
Okay. But that is not what the other candidates running for president, including the number two and Elizabeth Warren as well, who's kind of three or four, depending on what poll you look at. And again, I think ultimately these candidates like a Warren, like a there's going to be someone else other than Biden and Sanders that at least gets, you know, into the number three position in a more clear place as the field whittles down, even after the first debate coming up later this month. But take a listen, Senator Elizabeth Warren, and then we'll play Bernie Sanders. They both reject this idea of Joe Biden's. Take a listen.
Some Democrats in Washington believe the only changes we can get are tweaks and nudges. If they dream at all, they dream small. Some say if we all just calm down, the Republicans will come to their senses. But our country is in a time of crisis. The time for small ideas is over.
Okay, so she's not trying to play to getting any Republicans on board. Like she said, Republicans won't come to their senses. So direct contradiction to Joe Biden. And then Bernie Sanders, who is the right now the closest challenger to Joe Biden, and the one candidate who, if let me tell you, these other liberal candidates start dropping, he consolidates power. It looks a lot like Clinton Sanders again, but I think it could favor Sanders this time around when he's facing someone like Joe Biden. Take a listen to Sanders.
We cannot go back to the old ways. We have got to go forward with a new and progressive agenda. We have got to make it clear that when the future of the planet is at stake, there is no middle ground.
Let me go to John in Minnesota online four as we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. And John, I wanted to play that kind of 1-2-3. Biden saying I can convince Republicans to have an epiphany. Elizabeth Warren saying Republicans aren't coming around. Bernie Sanders saying we're not going back. We're moving forward with this really progressive agenda. And then I wanted to get to your call, John, coming out of Minnesota online four.
Thank you, Jordan. Yeah, I agree with exactly where you're going with this. I know a few weeks ago that it was stated that Biden was probably the most viable candidate. I think that's all changed, mainly because of two mistakes of Biden. Number one, his kind of gross perversions, mm-hmm. you might say. But second of all, this issue, he's all over the place on this. And Sanders came out, I think it was 3 days ago, and said, there's no middle ground on abortion. I think that was very appealing to the radical leftists. Yep. And I think that's where it's going to go. Interesting, I got a survey from Klobuchar today, and I had to tell her that I think she's rated still number 23 out of 24 in Minnesota. But, you know, I think also another comment I have is I think this is great for Republicans. I think this is going to really mobilize our side, so to speak. It's going to, I think, increase the Trump support tremendously. I already think we're ahead, by the way, mm-hmm. but I think it's going to really magnificently accelerate.
I think very good points there. And I think that you could be right. I mean, I think, listen, we're all trying to make predictions very early out here. But the idea that Joe Biden is just not going to be liberal enough, and that ultimately when people start casting their votes and that people have heard Joe Biden over and over and over again, he's been on the debate stage, he's been out there on the campaign trail, if he keeps making gas or keeps trying to have issues both ways, that is not the tone of the current Democrat Party. The tone of the current Democratic Party is, like what Bernie Sanders said, no middle ground, or what Elizabeth Warren said, that Republicans will not come to their senses if we calm down. So again, Joe Biden is this outlier that may get him to a certain extent that 30%-ish, but is it going to get him more than that as the campaign, as the field widows down in the Democrat primary? And we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I mean, here's another candidate. Do we have time to play it, guys? I think we have time to play it. Okay, so we'll play it. We come back in the second half hour. Another candidate for the Democrat nomination, a former governor of Colorado, John Hickenlooper. He tried to go to the Democrat Party convention in California, made a similar comment to like Joe Biden. Now, probably was the wrong room to make it in at all. But when you hear the response back, I think it just underscores exactly what we've been talking about, the problems for any kind of, quote, if there is such a mainstream Democrat running in this election cycle. We come back. Second half hour, taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you're a Democrat, put on your Democrat cap, who would you choose to run against President Trump? Any of these candidates? 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. In our second half hour, we are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We've been talking about Joe Biden, really how the punches are starting to be thrown amongst Democrat presidential nominees. This is because they head to Miami in just a few weeks, less than a few weeks now, for the first Democrat presidential debate. Yes, they will start debating in just a few weeks. They'll have be 2 days of debates. So, hey, you won't just get 1 day of Democrats debating. You will get 2 days, top tier and a second tier. That's when punches should start being thrown, especially that now that they're already starting to throw barbs that they'll have to respond to. And then second, they're all going to have to try and differentiate themselves. So Joe Biden is trying to be, you know, Joe Biden. He's trying to have, you know, the abortion issue both ways. But Planned Parenthood immediately called him out on that, just like we immediately called him out on that. So from both spectrums say, no, you can't have it both ways, Joe Biden. It's abortion. You are either pro-life or pro-abortion. There is no in-between, especially when you are a presidential candidate. And some of these policies you will directly impact, like the Mexico City policy, which is put in place by executive order. But take a listen to another candidate, a much lesser known candidate, not doing so well in the poll. In the polling I have from Real Clear Politics, I don't even see his name yet, but he did get asked to speak at the California Democrat convention, a dangerous place to go with this message. And this is a Democrat, and it's a dangerous place to go with this message. Take a listen to John Hickenlooper, a former governor of Colorado.
But let me be clear. If we want to beat Donald Trump and achieve big progressive goals, socialism is not the answer. I was reelected in a purple state in 2014, one of the worst years for Democrats in a quarter century.
The boo started when he says socialism's not the answer. He said, you know, he wants to support big aggressive goals. So progressive, you know, he's using that term. He's just saying using the term socialism is stupid. That's dumb politics. It is dumb politics in America right now. Maybe not to get the nomination, but certainly for the general election. And that's when the boos start. And this is not the Democrat Socialist Convention in California. This is the Democratic Party's California convention. That's a very important primary to win if you are running for office, but it's also very telling about where the activists are, where the people who show up at the party conventions are. Then when they start booing, if you say socialism is not the answer, whew. I mean, I know it's California, but the Democrat Party has moved even further left. I mean, President Obama used to seem really liberal. This is taking it to a whole nother level.
Well, here's the problem for Governor Hickenlooper, Jordan. Based on that reaction, I think he's probably going to be one of the four candidates without a lectern at the upcoming debate. I mean, look, right now you have to take politics a step at a time, and he's trying to get one of the 20 lecterns available for the debates. I think he might want to be one of the four left out for that. And look, here's the reason for it. In my view, Jordan, the de facto leader of the Democrat Party right now is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Huh. And she thinks that Vice President Biden's new climate plan is middle of the road. So when you get a comment like this from Governor Hickenlooper, Jordan, I think he's going to have a very tough time distinguishing himself inside that primary.
Yeah, I mean, listen to this one, and we're going to get into the Green New Deal stuff in a second. This is John Delaney, another trying to be moderate candidate. Take a listen, same event that Hickenlooper was at, Byte 17.
Medicare for all may sound good, but it's actually not good policy, nor is it good politics. I'm telling you.
100. This is a former Democrat Congress from Maryland, and all he's saying is this Medicare for all idea is just not good policy. He's not saying that he would be against government-run healthcare even. He's just saying Medicare for all is not good policy. And the amount of booing, the boos that start by saying socialism is not the answer. Go ahead, Democrats. Please, continue this. We'll be back talking now about how Joe Biden wins.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
To Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are going to start taking a lot of calls right now. People have been holding on. Usually we try to wait until the final segment to really just do rapid line phones because we've got new information we want to get to as well on Joe Biden and the pressure he's got. As Stan said, this pressure from freshman members of Congress like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez calling him out and then him suddenly rushing out his own version of a Green New Deal. But I want to first take a phone call. Dennis in Florida on line 6. Dennis, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You were on the air.
Great. Good to talk to you, Jordan. Thanks, you know, the reason I called is I was responding to your initial question, you know, what about Republicans being moved. I got to tell you, I'm a lifelong registered Democrat. And I hate to say I agree with Elizabeth Warren, but America is at a crisis point, and that crisis point is perpetuated by the continual leftward movement of the Democratic Party and its calls for socialism. As a Democrat, I got to tell you, I will not vote for, I support the president, President Trump, and there's nothing Joe Biden or any of the other Democratic contenders could do to cause me to vote for them.
So you're not swayed. I want to talk to you for a second, Dennis. So as a registered Democrat, you're not swayed by Joe Biden trying to play a moderate, nor are you swayed by the Bernie Sanders, and the Elizabeth Warren wing of saying, you know, there's no middle road, no middle ground. And then, you know, the idea of socialism being, you know, booed and all of that. So even those kind of candidates out there, like the Hickenloopers, like the Biden, they're no interest to you.
They are zero interest to me. And I'll tell you the way I see some of these candidates, they continue to pander to what I see as a very narrow base in the Democratic Party. They have to do that because I believe they recognize that they're losing middle-of-the-road Democrats. They're losing more conservative Democrats and independents. So they continue to try to out-left each other to gain more media attention, to mobilize that smaller base that the media will make look like a bigger base.
Yeah, right? I mean, the question is that people do actually have to vote. And I wonder if these candidates are just bending over way too fast, like Joe Biden. He is just showing no backbone, no spine when, again, a freshman member of Congress calls him middle of the road on climate change. Well, that would play pretty well in a general election, actually. that you're not denying climate change, but you're not trying to push a Green New Deal. This is what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said that led Joe Biden to take this action. You won't hear Joe Biden's name uttered. Everyone knew this was about Joe Biden, though. There's no question about that, including Joe Biden's campaign. Take a listen to AOC.
In 1989, the year that I was born, the year that many of us were born, and in years after and right before, that politicians were first informed by NASA, that Congress was first notified by NASA that climate change was going to threaten my life and everyone here's life to come, and they did nothing. That is too much for me. And I will be if the same politicians who refused to act then are going to try to come back today and say we need a middle-of-the-road approach to save our lives. That is too much for me.
So Joe Biden immediately responds. So he took it as an attack on him. Why? He was in Congress then. He was there in Congress. Now, he's trying to say in an ad that we played during one of our breaks that he put forward legislation. I don't think that legislation went anywhere, and I'm not even sure how accurate that is on climate issue and what that meant back in the 1980s. But Joe Biden took this as a direct hit on him, and he responded to the middle of the road statement. When you get to the general election, and if Joe Biden is the candidate, and I'm a Republican consultant, I'm playing this statement by Joe Biden over and over and over again in the Midwest and the Rust Belt, over and over and over again. Take a listen to Joe Biden, because he responded to the leftist, Democrat, socialist, really a provocateur, AOC.
You never heard me say middle of the road. I've never been in the middle of the road on the environment. And I tell her to check, the statement that I made and look at my record. She'll find that nobody has been more consistent about taking on the environment and a green revolution than I have.
Okay, so you've got Joe Biden. He can even run in the ads without the sound. I've never been middle of the road. He says that, generally speaking. I'm going to go to Wes Smith on this. Wes, I thought Joe Biden, that was what Joe Biden was all about, was appealing to the everyday man, the everyday woman, the working class, the middle class, the voters in the flyover states. And yet now he's never been middle of the road, and doesn't even couch that until the second sentence, where it's never been the middle of the road on climate change. But he says on anything, never been on the middle of the road, and then says that he's part of the green revolution.
It depends on which day you ask Joe Biden, because you'll get a different answer on different days. I think he's attempting to moderate somewhat on some issues, and he's just beginning to reap the attacks and the criticism for that. There's a lot of virtue signaling going on here, especially by AOC, that you're not only in disagreement with me over a particular issue, you are evil and contemptible. You saw the same thing with the border wall issue. If you're for border barriers, you are a heartless, evil person, even though there is human trafficking and drug smuggling going on. But, you know, part of what is involved with so much of the left agenda, whether it's AOC or Joe Biden or the other 23 candidates, there's a lot of drama and hyperbole going on. AOC mentioned in 1989, the year she was born. It was, interestingly enough, in that year that the United Nations said that the world would be destroyed if we did not act in 10 years. Joe Biden, in his new plan that he released, you know, in the last day or two about climate change, said that the survivability of planet Earth is dependent upon us taking drastic action within 12 years from now. And so there's a lot of that going on. And scientists agree that climate change is real, but science is not settled on whether or not we have to do something completely drastic in order to save humanity.
Or if it's self-correcting.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. We're just not sure. I mean, again, there's definitely changing weather patterns across the country. I mean, you see that. It's what you need to do in response to it. And these proposals that are put forward, these massive proposals, by the way, that can't be paid for unless everybody's paying 90% taxes. But let me go to Than on this, because Than, the idea of Joe Biden's rapid response says a lot about the power of some freshman members of Congress.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan, I said earlier in the broadcast that I thought AOC was the leader of the Democrat Party. I don't think you could get more proof than the pace at which Joe Biden rushed to respond to this criticism. By the way, he rushed to respond so quickly that it looks like he didn't properly cite several of the things that he used in his climate plan. And that, of course, harkens back to some former plagiarism issues he may have had. Oh. But look, I think it says I think it says that Alexandria Ocasio.
Are you serious? So he may have plagiarized his own green plan?
Oh, no, he did. He failed to properly cite several things that were lifted from several leftist organizations in the plan he rushed out. He's admitted it. He says he's corrected it on there. In the rush to get the 22-page document out, it wasn't properly cited. So, Jordan, he has admitted he's rushing to respond to a freshman member of Congress when he's the former vice president and the front runner for the nomination. And by the way, just one final political point here. It's not going to pacify the AOC crowd, but you know who it will rile up? Voters in the Rust Belt who this would harm economically.
Yeah. This is not going to be good enough for the left or the Bernie Sanders crowd, or the AOC crowd, or the Elizabeth Warren crowd. Here's what it does. The Biden plan for a clean energy revolution and environmental justice. I'm not even sure what of that wasn't plagiarized by somewhere else now that Than has let us know that. And that the Biden campaign has actually acknowledged that they plagiarized their own plan. It's a $1.7 trillion of federal spending over the next 10 years. Biden's campaign said this would be supplemented by leveraging more than $5 trillion in additional private sector and state and local investments, considerably less expensive than the Green New Deal itself, which estimates range as high as $93 trillion. So he's spending $92 trillion less than the Green New Deal. So it is certainly not going to satisfy those who believe Joe Biden is middle of the road on the environment. Because he's saying, well, I'll give you $1.7 trillion, not $93. But as Dan said, that already this plan isolates a lot of middle-of-the-road voters, actual middle-of-the-road voters. And what do they say in the news article? It follows criticism from AOC and others on the party's left flank about his stance on environmental issues. So, again, he wants to roll back tax incentives and get away with – and, of course, increase – he says get away with tax cuts. That means increase – taxes. Again, what does this show you? Again, I'm going to take Timothy's Thomas's call, who is a Democrat, in the next segment when we come back. So Thomas, hang on, because I think that you believe that Biden is your best bet. I don't necessarily disagree with you if he makes it through this primary process. I think he's making it really difficult to get through the primary process while he's sliding a bit in the polls. We'll see how he responds to the debate stage as well when he's actually with these candidates and how they respond to him, because he's a pretty tough guy as well and can laugh some things off as well with experience. We come back. What do? We take phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. People are on the line. We have one line open right now. You can grab it if you call right now. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Go to aclj.org. Find out what we're up to.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
show. Can we play that D-Day video again? I'm going to play that again for people, because President Trump is in the UK, and he participated in an event. I'll go to Wes Smith on this as a retired colonel and as a veteran. Wes, today President Trump participated in an event, and then we're going to get right to your phone calls on politics. But don't want to ignore this. On this would be the 75th anniversary of the day before,
yes.
So the preparation. So where was this event today?
It was in Portsmouth, England, which is where the staging area for all of the troops who would eventually cross the English Channel. In actuality, Operation Overlord, as it was called, the D-Day invasion, was scheduled for June 5th, which would have been today, 75 years ago. There was really, really bad weather. They had to delay it for a day. And so today in Portsmouth, they had ceremonies marking the stationing of all the troops there in order to go across the channel. Tomorrow is the actual 75th anniversary. I thought it was also interesting, the crazy society we live in, Jordan. Whenever President Trump recited the prayer by FDR for the troops who are about to do this, he was actually criticized in some of the mainstream media for having a prayer at this ceremony.
Today.
Yes.
He's been criticized today because that's what he was doing. If you'll see that, if you're on Facebook and Periscope, or you can go back later today and see this, you'll see the FDR's portrait behind him. It's because he's reading a prayer by FDR for the troops who are about to go carry out this mission this day before D-Day. Mm-hmm. And that's the event the president's and the media is actually haven't had
some people were criticizing. And this is such a sacred day in American history. You would think this would be the one time that we could unite as Americans and that people in the mainstream media would join us in uniting as Americans to commemorate the bravery, the courage, the sacrifice of our soldiers 75 years ago. And yet even in this, they simply tried to score political points.
All right. Tomorrow again is the 75th anniversary of D-Day, and we'll acknowledge that on the broadcast as well. Let's get right back to the phones, take as many as we can on politics. Let's go fast. Let's go to first. I said Thomas in Georgia, who's a Democrat. Thomas, you were on the air.
Yeah, just want to say that I think that as a Democrat that Biden's our best chance. He is middle of the road. And everybody seems to be down on being middle of the road, but you're going to have to go middle of the road. You cannot go to the extreme because people, the Democratic Party is made up of everybody from the people in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Ohio, and Wisconsin, and to the people in New York and California. So you
here's the problem, Thomas. Hang on the line. I thought Joe Biden was that candidate. I really did. But then he made this statement that he's never been middle of the road. I mean, you know, maybe you'll say, well, he made that for political purposes, but he said it, Thomas. Take a listen to Joe Biden.
You never heard me say middle of the road. I've never been in the middle of the road on the environment.
And Thomas, heard me say I'm middle of the road. I mean, Thomas, and you said he is more middle of the road. He may be trying to play politics with it, Thomas. I think you know better than I do as a Democrat what's going on inside your party. Can he get away with saying I'm not middle of the road but still getting middle of the road voters? Do you think he can?
You know, as far as I'm concerned, he has to say that. If I was him, I would say that. You have to say that you are not middle of the road because you do not want Sanders and the lady from New York. You do not want those people to go against you. The goal is to win in November.
Yeah.
Disregard everything that happens in the primary. Those things are things people say so they can get to November.
Well, certain of those things, though, like putting out plans that cost trillions of dollars, that you plagiarized, those will haunt you. Saying you're never middle of the road will haunt you. And so, Thomas, I mean, I agree to an extent. There's always a pivot between winning the primary, which usually you have to go in the Democrat side more left, Republican side more right, and there's a pivot more to the middle. Joe Biden is making that pivot more difficult for himself right now. That's where I think, Thomas, I think we could agree is he's making that pivot more difficult. But I really appreciate your call and your insight there. Let's go right back to the phones. Let's go to James in North Carolina, also supporting or thinks that Biden is a good candidate. Don't know if he's actually a Biden voter. We'll go right to James. Hey, James.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, how you doing? No, I'm actually a Republican, and of course I wouldn't have voted for Trump at the beginning. But I'm really proud of what he's doing and how much he cares for the people of this country. But with Biden, I believe, like, just from the people I know and always talking to the people at church or at work or whatever, most people are clueless when it comes to politics. I think that the ones of us that follow politics, we forget that most of this country doesn't even listen. They just know what they see on TV.
Yeah.
So I think Biden's actually going to be the better candidate because the Democrats that are running that aren't to the far side are going to see Biden as a reflection of Obama. So you're going to get a lot of Democrats that are politically clueless that are going to vote for Biden because they're going to see Biden is picking back up where Obama left off.
No, I think that you are right if he gets through the primary process. You know where James is, and James, I want to get back to you with another question, so hang on the line. But you know, you got to get through that primary process, and those voters do pay attention. The voters that vote in primaries, which is a much smaller group, or that caucus, they are very engaged. And so that's where it becomes tougher for Joe Biden. I think if he gets through this process, you're probably right. You probably are right. There may be another candidate, like I kind of tend to agree with Than, like a Kamala Harris, who could be also a very strong a potential candidate. I haven't really seen any others yet that I think would be strong against President Trump and even really play, you know, like a somewhat chance. But so it'd be my only two right now. But I did want to go back to another thing. You said, James, you weren't necessarily a Trump, you're Republican, but not necessarily a Trump supporter early on. Are you going to be voting, or do you think you're going to be voting for, and if you're okay with answering this, voting for and supporting Donald Trump this time around?
Yeah, no, in the beginning, it was his mouth, you know what I mean?
I kind of learned
from the last couple of years that I'd rather, like I heard a saying that said, I'd rather see a billionaire become a politician than a politician become a billionaire. So I like the fact that he's just doing his job.
Yep.
You know, I was going to go for Ben Carson when he was starting to run in the beginning and dropped out. Trump is, and the way he's, you know, he keeps his word. And I think most American people are sick and tired of politicians. And I don't think the Democrats realize that they spent the last 2 years doing nothing but whining. And I don't see how they can think that they're going to win this presidential election when they haven't signed one bill or done one thing in 2 years.
James, I think you are part of that difference maker in 2020. You weren't really you probably did vote for Donald Trump, but you weren't really on board with it. You weren't telling your friends about it. You weren't that pumped up about it or excited about it. Now you are. So a lot of this silent majority that voted for Trump is becoming a little less silent, which means there's going to be some additional silent group, a new silent group who are following their friends who are saying, I'm not afraid to talk about this anymore. I'll talk about it publicly. Let's try to take one more call today. Final call, Lynette in New York. You're the last call of the day.
Thank you so much for taking my call, Jordan. And I was exactly going to say what you just mentioned. This is an excellent opportunity for truth and for conversation, not screaming at other people, not name calling, and not just trying to politically identify, but actually discussing facts, actually discussing history, and actually concentrating on, do we want to become another Venezuela, or do we really want to face the challenges that we have and solve them?
You know how you quickly become another Venezuela? When your presidential candidate, who may become your president, plagiarizes his Green New Deal plan, so he doesn't even know what's in it, and then starts implementing it for $1 trillion, and suddenly you are Venezuela very quickly. We'll talk to you next time, guys. Great callers today.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.